Oh, really?
Is he actually
that good?
He is actually a bass player, so, you know.
So he was literally typecast in this film.
Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 44, and this time we are jumping off of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which is a romantic comedy told in the style of a 90s fighting game.
Yes.
Yes.
Which was different. I mean, I had seen it. I think I saw it back in, like, 2011 or so.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it just sort of, like, wiped from my memory over time. And so I went back and, you know, during the rewatch.
Yes.
And it's different. It holds up.
I love this movie.
Yeah, it holds up pretty good. I'm not a big romantic comedy guy, but I think the format kind of did it for me a little bit.
In the style of a 90s fighting game is what... Tops it off for me.
And I think, like, Michael Cera himself, like, as an actor, didn't age particularly well. You know, like, his style of acting.
Right.
He is really the same guy in every freaking movie.
Right, but that's the guy that they were casting in this movie. So
right,
it's fine.
Right.
Yeah. And apparently Michael Cera actually had to dumb down his bass playing to be at the same level as the rest of the band.
Oh, really? Is he actually that good?
He is actually a bass player, so, you know.
So he was literally typecast in this film.
So, yeah, it's about, you know, the early 20s slacker trope, basically, thrown into a fighting game, battling the seven evil exes to win the heart of the girl.
Yeah, which I just...
Which is less convoluted than the plot of Mortal Kombat.
Is it?
Yes. Have you read the...
Yeah, I guess it is.
The damn plot screens on those games?
Yeah, Mortal Kombat's pretty convoluted. Well, here's the thing. Mortal Kombat 1 was not. But when they had to, like, find reasons for a second, third, fourth, third tournament...
Yeah, the first one was, okay, it's a tournament to determine...
Yeah.
And then the shadow world is invading our world and resurrecting the fighters that you killed last time so that they can fight in this eternal tournament for all of humanity.
Yeah.
That's about the level where Scott Pilgrim was.
Right. Yeah.
And you have to understand the absurdity kind of going in to appreciate it.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like the absurdity of a musical.
And you do have to go into it with that. It's not, you
have to suspend, you know, there's a suspension of disbelief when in the middle of Grease they break out in tune. So
right.
It's that same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess... when you look at it that way, it does make sense. You just have to know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
It's based on a comic, so it's going to kind of have that comic book sort of
vibe. And at the same time, it's paying homage to so many video games.
Right.
And when the fight's over, coins drop to the ground and the guy disappears.
Right.
You know, you do something and you unlock an achievement or a weapon.
Yeah, or a one-up.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, yeah, it's... Yeah, and that's it.
It's absurd if you view it through a reality lens, but if you view it as a romantic comedy told in the genre of a 90s fighting game, it makes sense and is one of the better plots of a 90s fighting game.
Yeah, and I think, but I think because of that, in a lot of ways, it only hits a very narrow audience. There's probably a 10 to 15 year group of people, mm-hmm. maybe 20. That remember playing those kinds of games.
And isn't that a large enough chunk to... That's what the studio was banking on, was that was going to be a large enough chunk to draw in. And unfortunately, it flopped in the box office.
It flopped terribly.
And I hate that because it's a wonderful film.
Yeah. But it's but I mean, it's not only are you trying to hit that audience, but you're trying to hit that subsect of that audience that appreciates and has, you know, fond memories and
right.
get that nostalgia, you know, kind of thing.
And unfortunately, it was Edgar Wright's first real foray into U.S. filmmaking without having Simon Pegg in a movie.
Yeah.
And he hasn't really gotten another opportunity because of how bad it flopped.
Yeah.
There was Paul, but Simon Pegg was in it.
Right.
So.
Well, and I mean, that's the way studios are going now is they want guaranteed hits.
Like, yeah.
There is no more taking chances for major studios anymore.
And coming into it, you know, with the marketing they pushed out ahead of it, they thought this was a guaranteed hit.
Yeah.
And I tend to agree with them, but apparently I'm the focus audience. So.
Right, yeah. We both are. But it's, but I mean, the reason why I don't think he's ever going to get another shot, or he might get another shot down the road, is that when you have that black mark on your record,
yep.
like it's hard for them to sell. I mean, let's face it. These studios are corporations now.
Yeah.
And corporations must have profit. They're the Ferengi of the world. They want the profits. They want all the gold press latinums.
But they've always been corporations seeking profit.
But not
the
really.
the face of the corporations have changed.
Yeah. Well, they've always wanted profit, but there's always been a more, like in a lot of ways, sometimes, you know, going back 20, 30 years, these studios would release a film for the sake of art.
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't really even do that anymore.
Right.
You know, it's a lot down to these indie studios. They've lost kind of their artistic soul.
They've lost their art house divisions.
Right.
Because it's so expensive to make one of these blockbuster movies, so the profits are so narrow.
Right.
That they don't get the extra money to cultivate the art house where you develop your good actors that you'll use later in your blockbusters. So that has gone away.
Right. And I think, and that's really what I meant. I mean, studios have always wanted to make money.
Right.
But now they've sort of lost that artistic soul.
And it's all because you, dear listener,
don't
go to the movies enough.
Well, and it's not. I mean, I don't even think it's that.
Well, there's less reason for people to go to the movies.
There are.
Period.
No, and, there are.
You know, as much as a movie will make in post friggin' DVD or whatever.
Yeah.
That initial theater hit.
That's all.
Is what gets you a sequel. What gets you pulled in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless it hits absolutely cult status.
Right.
And Scott Pilgrim's pretty close.
It's close. And I mean, and it's, assuming, you know, Michael Cera's career doesn't rebound, which I don't think it will. I mean,
I think it has to bound first.
I mean, it bounded for a while. Yeah, he was in a couple of movies. And
no, that was Jesse Eisenberg.
They're the same guy, aren't they?
No. Exactly.
No, but you know what I mean. I mean, he's not going to be
he can live off the residuals for freaking Arrested Development.
Right.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, so it's going to be one of those things where I think, you know, maybe if a Netflix or somebody else wants to bankroll, throw $2 million at it, let him do a sequel, it would be possible. You know, especially as CGI gets a little bit better and it gets a little bit cheaper to do this kind of stuff.
But there's no more comics to pull from. They pulled from the entire set.
Oh, this there, one that was
movie.
It?
Yeah.
Because I didn't go into
the
comics.
It was a six-volume run. And
then they don't need
this
to make
movie
a
ran through the whole thing. And actually, they were in production on the movie before the last couple came out.
Yeah.
So the endings are a little bit different.
Huh. Then, they don't need to make a sequel. You never need to exceed your written material.
Right.
Unless the guy who wrote the comics is like, sure, I'll crank you out another one. You know, but even then, it's going to be iffy. Because
unless the guy who's writing the, you know, the 3-inch thick book says, yeah, sure, I'll have the next one out in time. Game of Thrones.
Yeah, well.
Where the series has now
passed the source material,
which is going to catch up in theory. and then be passed again.
Yeah.
No.
That assumes that George R. R. Martin's going to write another book, which I think...
They say he's written the freaking whatever winter or whatever they're on now, and it's supposed to come out sometime soon, but then... But it's 3-4 years in between books, so
yeah. But I thought
they're going to wrap up the entire series before he writes the next.
Well, that's the thing. I thought that like they had this season and the next one, and they're done.
Then done. Yeah.
Yeah. So they don't have that much further to go.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's then they don't need to make a sequel. You know, it just sort of needs to exist as it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's if you're interested in it,
and that's the good thing about it flopping.
Yeah.
Because if it had done well, there would be this horrible sequel to talk about.
Right. Well, and I mean, and you don't want to wind up in, and I know we've talked about it before, you don't want to wind up in a Smallville situation where you had the ending done, and then they came to you, threw some money at you, and said, you know what?
We're renewing you.
Yeah. We want to squeeze another, you know, 3 seasons out of this. And you're forced to kind of go back and bullshit some stuff together.
And then
you don't want to do that. Right. You don't want to be in that situation because in the end, honestly, I think it sullied the entire series. Because, I mean, it had its peaks and valleys, seasons 1-7, but God, nobody wants to talk about seasons, 8, 9, and 10. They're terrible.
Or you end up with, like Community or Scrubs, where they never told them if they were coming back the next season.
Right.
So they did
and
a...
Parks and Rec is the same
way.
Every season sort of ends with a bit
soft,
of finality.
Yeah, they did a soft finale every year.
Yeah, and but that's one thing I will give Breaking Bad credit for.
Oh, they
ran. They threw a shit ton of money at them to do another season, and he said no.
Right.
He said, I have written
it's
this
done.
Much. It's done.
Yes.
Now, we'll stretch it out over 2 seasons if you want, which is what they did, and it's be that what it may. But, yeah, he said, I'm done.
This is the ending.
This is it. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll do Better Call Saul.
Yeah. It's been okay.
Which I haven't.
It's all right. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I've meant to watch it, and it just hasn't happened.
Yeah,
because
I mean,
it's not Breaking Bad.
Right. And I mean, I've loved Bob Odenkirk for the Mr. Show days on.
Yeah, yeah. Which
and
is now on Amazon Prime, by the way.
Yes, I know. I'm watching it right now. And that may be what we do next week.
Okay.
It's a few episodes of Mr. Show. Because for reasons we'll talk about next time.
Yeah.
We're doing Mr. Show next.
Okay.
All right.
I'll ask you here in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
Because
Mr. Show.
I won't remember.
But yeah, but I mean, I'm glad that it's going to kind of, hopefully it will just stay where it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a good movie. I mean, I enjoyed it. It's, once you kind of get the flow of what the movie's going to be about.
Yeah.
It's very easy to kind of get through and you sort of, it is like a video game. You have, some stuff, boss fight, boss fight.
Yes.
You know, and it's, I'm used to that. Like, this is the style of game I've been playing since I was 3. I've got 29 years of doing this. This is old hat. You know, it's a very comfortable flow for me.
Well, and we were talking about if you approach it like a musical, they actually kind of did that for you because the first boss fight is a musical.
Yeah.
So, they kind of tried to force you into that mindset.
Yeah.
Whether or not it took.
Well, and I mean, and you know, it is that, 3-act play kind of thing where, at the end of...
7-act.
Let's... You have sort of...
Yeah.
But in a musical, you sing the big number, and then you sort of have the little interlude while you're changing the set around and going to the different, meanwhile back at the Avocado Ranch kind of thing.
Yeah,
To get everything set back up. So, and that's really what it did. You had the boss fight, and then, you sort of had a little interlude of things before the next kind of... arc came in.
Right.
And that's, like I said, as someone who's done musicals and was nerdy in that way, that's a very comfortable flow.
Yeah.
I'm used to that. It's easy.
Well, and actually this movie became kind of a jumping off ground for quite a few, bigger names.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick's in there.
Yeah.
Aubrey Plaza. Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Kind of my sarcastic crush. Like, I do. I have.
She's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's pretty great. Yeah. She's the world's snarky hot friend. Like,
Kieran Culkin in his best role ever.
Yeah. By far.
not that that's saying much, but. Yeah.
But yeah. It's. I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I enjoyed the movie. It's. I don't want there to be more.
Right.
There doesn't need to be more.
Right.
But it should exist as it is.
Right. Well, and before this, Edgar Wright was, what, he's doing a trilogy. It was Shaun of the Dead and something else.
Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, and then freaking the end is, or the end of something.
Yeah. Oh, World's End. Yeah. Yeah.
Which was really
good. World's End's funny.
That's fucking funny. Yeah. They're all hilarious.
They are. But he
was writing for the same two people, you know, in all of those movies, so it's those same two voices.
Right. And I mean if you want to go into that, it's
oh, we can. We have tangents. We're allowed to.
Now speaking, I did not realize that he co-wrote the screenplay for Ant-Man.
Huh. He was attached to directing it early on, and he actually left, and somebody else finished up directing it.
Interesting.
So I guess somebody did give him a shot at a bigger budget movie.
Yeah.
But he left the project, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, it's and I don't know what they call that, you know, the Simon Pegg trilogy.
Yeah, there is a name for it.
There is?
Yeah. I've seen it before. This is great radio here.
This is the Three Flavors Cornetto trilogy.
Yes. I told you there was a name for it.
Three Flavors Cornetto trilogy.
Yes.
Okay. I like all these movies.
Yeah.
It's actually bad. Like I tried to get my wife to watch, like, Shaun of the Dead. She absolutely hates them.
Whatever.
They're just not. Well, I'm a subtle British humor person. And she's just not.
What's subtle?
Yeah. Sorry, the absurd British humor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just that, you know, well, this is a terrible zombie movie. It's supposed to be a terrible zombie movie. Yeah,
it's not a zombie movie. It's a romantic comedy.
Yeah. It's all about the girl. The zombies are secondary.
Told during the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. Which sounds perfectly logical.
Yeah. Much like a romantic comedy told in the style of a 90s action film.
Yeah.
90s.
Sorry. Action game.
Fighting game.
Yeah.
action and fighting are two different genres of game.
That's true. Should do one on an action game. Then in the middle, like...
Then we'll just start talking about fighting games.
The director should just get pissed and just... You should see on the screen, like, up, up, down, down, left, right, BA select start, and he's just got unlimited ammo and this crazy shit's going on.
It kind of happened in the final scenes.
Yeah, that's true.
When he finally used the one-up. Spoiler!
But it's funny, because... And I've noticed it still, I mean, to this day, through every game that I play through, like, by the time I get to the end, I'm generally so overpowered... That it's just not that difficult anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I miss, like, the Ocarina of Time, where that final fight against Ganon is legitimately hard. You know, I've been sort of avoiding playing through the end of Fallout 4.
They make it where, I guess they make the boss where if you play it straight through, without going and getting all the Easter eggs and...
The side quests and getting the toys
yeah. and all the other stuff, that it's a challenging fight. But in this day and age, everybody goes and does all the side quests and wants to get 100%.
So why not level the boss accordingly? Like, if I'm a level 35 and I fight him, the boss should be a level 35. If I'm a level 45, the boss should be a lot harder.
Right. But,
you know, I will say that that's one thing that
Or they should just make it where the boss is... the hardest thing ever, and if you can't beat it, you need to come back later.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I will give
But then there's the players that don't want to, you know, do circles in the grass to fight things to level up,
Well, and it's not even that. It's, like, it's one thing that I will chide Bethesda for, is that, like, Skyrim, Elder Scrolls, Fallout... All of those, I mean, right now in Fallout 4, I'm like a level 45, and I'm nowhere close to the end, but I one-shot kill everything.
Yeah.
I have a rifle that does like 375 damage. I just pop, 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 everybody dies.
Well, you should leave World 1-1.
I'm not in World 1. I'm going through the DLC that I bought. But now I will say Dragon Age Inquisition, on the other hand... was a lot harder in that way, because there were, you know, if you're going and fighting these epic level dragons, like, you do have to, it's circle and throw traps and do all of the, you know, the little...
Yeah, well, I mean, there's...
hook and crook ways of beating him, whereas this time, I can walk in, find the, like... if you've never played Fallout 4, there is a character called a Deathclaw.
Okay.
They're the baddest motherfuckers roaming around. I can two-shot kill one now.
Uh-huh.
Like, I see it, go into Vats, pop, pop, boom, boom, two shots with the Gauss rifle, he's dead.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that easy.
Well, I guess, you know, they spend the time making the graphics so pretty, where all they had to, I guess they would have to do a leveling up engine for all the AI as well.
Yeah.
Where as you're going through adventures and stuff, they're passing the same amount of time, so they might be leveling up as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, I think is what's needed in some of those games.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do miss, you know, going back to fighting games, like I miss the old M. Bison fight in Street Fighter 2, you know, where it's you got to be on your, like, straight on your game, or Mike Tyson in the original Punch-Out. Like,
right.
Even if you're on your game, you still might lose.
Yeah.
And it might make me throw the controller, and it might make me stomp off in anger.
But I'm going to come back and try again.
I'm going to come back and whoop his ass, because I got the code to get past Super Macho Man. And that's the important thing. But yeah, it's, you know, so...
007353, something like that.
Yeah, I've got it written down. Actually, if you find the box,
there's a song. That's a
if you've got, well, see that, but that was when Super Macho Man was the last guy, wasn't it? Like, because there was Mike Tyson's Punch Out,
right? And then there was
Punch Out. Super Macho Man, and he went to Mike Tyson.
And then there was Punch Out, where they got rid of Mike Tyson.
Yeah, but wasn't it like Mr. Dream was the last guy? Yeah, so. Yeah, if you find the box, it's in this room somewhere that my Super Punch-Out is in. Like, there's a little sticky note from, like, 89 on the back that has, in my, like, five-year-old handwriting, what the code to get to Super Macho Man is.
Woo-ha-ha.
Yeah. I will still get to it every time. But, yeah, it's, that kind of went off the rails pretty quick.
It's fine. That's what we need. Because... we were running out of material, so let's not try to get back on the rails.
Yeah.
Because the rails was...
rails were going into a dead end.
Yes. Yeah. The bridge is out.
Yeah. We do, though. We need... I mean, like... But going back to video games being hard enough, like, there needs to be a happy medium in between Fallout, where I one-shot kill everything, and Dark Souls, where it's so difficult that I just give up.
Well, and they've moved away... Video games have moved to a at-home experience instead of an arcade experience.
Yeah.
So they're completely different types of games now.
They are.
Whereas in the arcade experience, it's made for you to complete the entire game in 10, 15 minutes so the next guy can play.
Yeah.
Whereas at-home experience, if it has less than 12 hours of gameplay, you're pissed because, you know, you got gypped out of your $50.
Well, or, you know, you either need the 12 solid hours of gameplay, or you need to be Call of Duty, where essentially, like, the storyline is just a joke.
Yeah.
And everybody just buys it for the, you know, to play online.
Right.
You know, so you need one or the other.
Yeah. So, we need our arcades back, and that's never going to happen.
Apparently, they're still big in Japan.
Well, yeah.
It's, no, because, like, there's a Japanese wrestler that I follow.
Yeah, arcades in Japan are amazing. That he's like, at least they were in the late 90s.
Yeah, he's, like, a ranked, like, whatever the current thing of Street Fighter is. Like, he's nationally, like, internationally ranked. And, like, he does videos of him going to the arcades and, like, sitting down and, like, just playing guys.
Yeah, and like I said, the games in the arcades in Japan are completely different than anything that's released for any console.
Yeah.
Like, one of the greatest games over there was Armadillo Racing. Which involves a trackball, and that's it. And right. It's a big, sturdy trackball, and you just freaking—that's your steering, that's your locomotion. Your armadillo balls up, and you're rolling, and that's how you control it. You just keep spinning the trackball in front of you, and it's a fucking workout,
huh?
Because you're going as fast as you can, and oh shit, I have to turn, and oh shit, I have to turn, and yeah, it's frenetic and frantic and. You're rolling an armadillo down the freaking side of a mountain or whatever.
That simple, yeah.
It's an amazing game. But the Japanese aren't afraid to play around with concepts like that and just see what hits.
Right. And I mean, in a lot of ways, the video game studios have become like the motion picture houses of, you know, we will release the seventh rendition of whatever game because we know it'll sell, as opposed to taking a chance on something.
Thankfully, with the last couple of the generations of console, the independents can get in as downloadable, you know, cheaper games that you just download directly off the internet. Whereas that was relegated to PC for so many years, and it's just finally made it over to the console side.
Yeah, and that's now I will say, because I just started playing it, like No Man's Sky. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Oh yeah,
but it's the game of like
the largest freaking game ever.
Yeah, it's got like an infinite number of worlds, and it's constantly generating like this new content, and it's
apparently two player characters ended up on the same world, and they could sense that they were there, but they never actually saw each other.
But wasn't the chances?
But that was it.
It wasn't the chances.
That's the only time that's really been heard of. Yes. Well,
yeah, the chances were like 1 in 1 quadrillion or some crazy number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you're in a massive multiplayer game that you will never see anyone else in.
Which is a little depressing in a way, isn't it? Yeah.
I think that's kind of the point of the game.
Yeah.
Just mass depression. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if I want to play it if it's just all depression. I'm just one man alone in the universe.
Yeah. It's real life, the video game.
No friends. Just fucking out playing it by myself. Meh. Yeah.
John doesn't even come over for podcasts in the game. Like, what the hell?
John, come to Planet 497B6 subset 3. I don't know where that is.
You're beaming that out in a random direction in hopes that someone will hear it.
Pretty much. But, yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know. I mean, but it is cool that you can sort of send information to the people, but it's a little more interaction than that. But
okay.
It's a little strange. I'm trying to get into it. It's sort of Minecraft-y. And,
okay.
But, I don't know. I do need some zombies to shoot. You know, I need... Need some.
It needs to be something.
Yeah, I need something.
You feel like the Mars rover right now.
I do.
It's kind of sitting there like, yeah, I'm looking at this. Is there something else to do?
God, that was the most depressing thing I've ever read. Like, the Mars rover sings happy birthday to itself on its birthday. How? Like, put a bullet in my head. That's so depressing. It's terrible.
Because I'm sure it's out of and it was coded by engineers, so you know it's off pace. And,
No, I've actually
it's
heard
probably
it, like,
in a minor key. And
And the other thing is, like, there's one planet in our solar system completely inhabited by robots. It's Mars.
Mars.
There's just two robots on like other ends of the planet. It's No Man's Sky. They'll never see each other. They're working. They're just doing their thing. Never knows the other's existence.
And the entire mass civilization on the other side of the planet is trying to stay hidden.
Sure.
Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, with their bungalows and...
Aliens!
Their Wong casinos that they have.
Yeah.
Because Futurama.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely. Little Mars rover. It's just sad. It's depressing. I can't help it. Like, it's... I think about it, and I'm like,
and that's
wow.
The game you're playing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's the game I'm playing right now, yeah. Yeah, on June 2nd, my player's just going to sing happy birthday to himself.
And then shoot himself in the face.
Why can't I turn this gun around? Like, this is awful.
You coded so much into this game, why didn't you code shooting yourself in the face?
You know what? I'm done.
Brink. You had to know this was the most depressing thing ever, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's... At least in, like, FIFA career mode, I can just retire. Like, there's nothing.
My guy barely limps down the field now. I can retire, right?
Yeah, I'm done. But yeah, it's... I don't know. So video games, at least, you know, there is a little bit of sort of kitschy weirdness that's kind of creeping its way back in. But we need that in movies. Like, it's been a while since there's been a solid, weird movie.
Yeah, well, but... I guess if there's any hope for that, it would be Netflix or Amazon original. But they're doing series.
Yeah.
And they're kicking ass at the series.
The series are good, yeah. We finished Stranger Things. We're very happy about
fucking
it.
Fucking beautiful.
Oh, man.
We'll talk about that probably the time after next time, since we've already booked the next time.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny because the Olympics were on. And my wife and I watched
none of the Olympics.
I didn't either. We watch, like... trash television together. Like, we watch like American Ninja Warrior and like America's Got Talent. Like, that's what we watch because it's mindless and we get emotionally invested in it because, you know what, I tried doing a ninja course, and it made me just realize I'm fat. I shouldn't be doing a ninja course. So, yeah, I'm totally impressed by him, so we watch him. But, yeah, so the Olympics preempted that for, like, 2 weeks.
No!
And so my wife's like, we both sat in front of the TV like, there's nothing to watch. I was like, friend said Stranger Things were good. So we turned it on.
Oh, it's...
And after two episodes, my wife's like, yep, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing this right now. So, yeah, time after that, we will maybe get a guest on or something.
Yeah, because
we can just talk Stranger Things.
We're already pretty much talking about Stranger Things every episode on Critical Hints because... I'm patterning my 2017 Changeling game off of Stranger Things.
Nice.
So that's going to be interesting.
Yes.
But they're basically playing the inmates in the test facility.
Okay.
So they're playing proto-11s.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, they start off in the test facility, and then if they succeed, then they'll be breaking out.
And
we'll see how that goes. Yeah.
Winding up in the upside down and all sorts of good stuff going on.
No, they start in the upside down, because that's the dreaming. So
that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
And hopefully I do it some sort of justice.
Yeah.
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 So we're at 30 minutes.
Yeah. Happy 50th anniversary to Star Trek.
Yeah,
I don't think we've ever talked about Star Trek.
And speaking of video games, on the two major consoles,
they have the
free Star Trek Online.
Yeah, that's what you sent me today.
Starting today.
Thank you for ruining my life.
You're welcome.
My marriage fails because I'm playing Star Trek Online. It's your fault.
But it's okay because she's a Trekker too.
That's true.
She'll join you.
Why are you only a commander? I'm going to leave you for this admiral.
You'll have to get her a PS, a PS4 and an Xbox One.
Yeah,
that way you can both play at the same time.
Yeah, that will be the expensive issue.
Well, the PS4 should be going down in price because the PS4 Pro is coming out.
What the hell is up with that?
Or you just get the PS4. It's their 4K.
Who, like, how many people have 4K that they need a 4K console?
Well. Basically, Xbox and PlayStation are seeing the money that's in cell phones right now, and they're trying to follow that model.
It's the iPhone 6S.
Yeah, this is the PlayStation 4S. Yeah. So they're trying to be iterative and get...
If you're Joe Schmo, you can give your wife that
and get the Pro, and...
Yeah, but I'm Joe Schmo with just a regular old 1080p television. It looks great to me.
Yeah.
Like, I've never owned a 4K television, but I don't imagine that if you sat me down in between a 1080p and a 4K, that I'd really be able to tell you the difference. And 4K streaming, fuck off. Like, I don't... Who has that kind of internet connection?
Exactly.
Unless you are directly connected to Google Fiber, I have no idea how you're doing that well.
Unless Google Fiber has deemed you worthy.
Right, yeah, yeah. Right.
Which...
Google Fiber has deemed no one else worthy. They're... done expanding it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's in Atlanta and Charlotte. It's on either side of us, but
they
fuck
could just
us.
Run me a little cable down 85 and be happy.
Yeah.
Hey, we just got U-verse. They spent the last week digging up our neighborhood so they could drop U-verse lines.
Well, and anybody else expanding fiber is because Google Fiber existed.
Yeah.
Honestly.
That's true. No, I really wish we could get like Verizon Fios or something down here, but Verizon's not even in South Carolina,
So, and I've heard such bad things about AT&T that I just, and they're dropping connections and all that. So I'm sticking with Charter.
See, Charter's been like, I don't know what's up with my Charter here, but my internet will just drop out and then come back in. So it's really made like streaming stuff iffy.
Well, thankfully, our Roku 3
actually
keeps enough of a buffer.
Nice.
Where with our Charter going in now. It rarely cuts off.
So you had to specifically buy technology to cover for Charter's shittiness.
Yeah, but it's better than AT&T's shittiness from what I've heard.
But I don't know that. And I figured this is brand new line, so it should work great.
It should.
So, plus, I've already got...
And you're not far from the hub.
Yeah. No, the hub is literally like the end of the street.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, plus I've already got DirecTV, so you can bundle, and so it might, you know...
I don't have TV. Charter wants me to have TV, but I don't want TV.
Yeah, Charter's sending me stuff like, we will literally suck your dick if you sign up for cable. Like, seriously, we need some cable.
We'll give you internet and cable for $80. I'm like, I don't really pay, I feel like paying $30 for cable.
Yeah.
Because that's not how I want to watch TV now. I get stuck in a hotel for a night, and it's painful.
Yeah.
Having to watch cable.
Yeah.
I'm used to pick what I want when I want and just watch it.
Yeah, and I mean my DirecTV there was where I can fast forward.
And Wendy's and MLB teamed up for a little go buy a Frosty, take a picture of it, and post it on Instagram and get the rest of the regular season for free on nice. MLB. And I did that. Actually, what I did, I was at work, so I couldn't go because it was only like the first 34,000 or something.
Yeah.
So I Google image searched a Wendy's Frosty.
You committed Frosty fraud?
And used a filter on Instagram so that it wouldn't look like... But I made sure it didn't look like a commercial image.
Yeah, it was. And then it had a hand in it.
Yeah, and then a blurry hand, you know.
Yeah.
And then put a friggin' filter on it so they couldn't use an algorithm to go, this is a Google image search. And you committed
Frosty fraud for free baseball TV.
For a 50-cent Frosty for free baseball, yeah. But it worked.
Wow.
I can watch every regular season game except for the Braves until the end of the season.
How do you sleep at night?
Pretty well.
Watching MLB TV.
Yeah, you watch with the baseball game on. Yeah.
That's funny.
And it automatically cuts off at the end. So, nice. it's not like if you leave it on ESPN and it's still on in the morning.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Which is what I do.
Yeah. So, okay. You said what we were doing next time.
I did, but yeah. My memory's real bad.
It is Mr. Show, yeah. Which is, hopefully it's still on Amazon Prime, because it was a little while ago.
It should be.
Yeah. Hopefully it hasn't gone away.
Yeah, we'll watch the first couple episodes. I mean, it's Mr. Show.
Yeah, it's a sketch thing, so it's fine.
It's sort of the American Mitchell and Webb kind of a goofy sketch comedy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Americanized.
Yeah.
Very much Americanized.
Yeah. And I am at Woodle on Twitter and the Instagram, and I have a new podcast, which I'm trying to do. I've got one episode out. I've got another in the bank, which will be coming out next week. And I'm going around and talking to people about their life, their passions, their projects, whatever they're doing. It's called Southern Fried Ambition. And I kind of just want to give normal people stories because I don't care that much about celebrities.
Yeah, they're not that interesting.
No, they're not. And normal people's stories and projects and what they find interesting to me is more interesting than what a celebrity is doing, you know, going down the road. So Southern Fried Ambition, it is submitted on iTunes. I have not gotten a confirmation on it on iTunes yet, but it is on Google Play, Pocket Cast, and Stitcher. And it's on Facebook. And you are?
I'm the Joe You Know on Twitter. I'm that Joe You Know on Instagram.
Yeah, we need to do this more often so you can remember.
You know,
we've had scheduling conflicts and U-verse was being put in last week, and that's what kept us from doing it last week.
Yeah, because my dogs bark at literally anything outside our window. So having like five guys digging up like the area in front of our house, I slept like an hour.
But at least they bring hamburgers.
They did not bring me anything.
What the fuck? That's the one thing five guys is supposed to do. Anyway.
No burgers, no fries, all dogs barking all day.
Yeah. And on that horrible, horrible joke, we will talk at you next time. Into open doors, pleasure in the pain.
tear down, waste time, write more, kiss, toast.
This has been a Southern Geek Podcast.